someone right beginning the visit with Berman and Shirley on buying the cows this Sunday after supper, the 30th of September, 73. Gentleman Wright beginning the visit with Shirley and Berman after supper this Sunday, the 30th of September, 73. Gentleman Wright beginning the visit with Shirley and Berman this Sunday after supper, the 30th of September, 73. Gentleman Wright beginning the visit with Shirley and Berman this Sunday after supper, the 30th of September, 73. Gentleman Wright beginning the visit with Shirley and Berman this Sunday after supper, the 30th of September, 73. Gentleman Wright beginning the visit with Berman and Shirley and Berman this Sunday after supper, the 30th of September 73.
Couple cows went down there and just patted them on the back. They didn't even walk away.
How you doing?
They acted like I was one of the family.
Oh, maybe you are.
I thought when you called over here, you can come over here and look at the cattle or do anything else and done.
Yeah. Y'all have supper?
No, no, we're
and
no
the kids
problem.
Ain't even had no
supper.
No, we
got to get back.
We just walked off and left the kids.
You didn't have supper, I give you a glass
of
water.
This has
you
been a
see,
day.
I've been mowing hay before I came over here.
You see what I gonna say?
We took the kid. You didn't make it to Isle of Grove Church this morning.
No.
Neither did I.
Oh, you didn't?
Berman and the boys went, but I took Bonnie to the hospital.
She had
an accident with her ankle.
Uh-oh.
And we thought it was broken.
Emergency room.
Yeah, the leaders and the tendons and all in her ankles. Oh, her ankle just swelled up somehow.
She jumped out of a swing and hurt her ankle.
Playing Tarzan.
Yeah. Playing Tarzan.
Playing Tarzan. Now, I've got some little lady, haven't I?
Yes, you have. Well, I still think I'm as crabby as old.
Well, I do too.
Oh, boy.
As crabby as old, they can still play Tarzan.
You going in the drug business there?
Yes. I've got so much of this darn old
petroleum belly.
Yeah.
I didn't. Guy said we all ought to be over there this morning if that's dinner on the ground.
Oh, you know, I
they claimed there was
that.
A crowd over there. I had chicken perlow and a big cake to take over there and what all. And I told Berman, I said, well, if you don't stay for church, come home and, you know, feed the kids. I hadn't frosted the cake yet. I tell him, I said, there's the frosting, there's the cake. When it cools, you just frost it before you eat it.
Didn't he stay?
No,
no.
We came on back home. And
he wouldn't stay because I wasn't there.
Lord help you, mean you.
That's what you told
no,
me.
No,
well,
I want to get back home. I had to get back home and get the hay up. We've had such bad weather for hay.
Oh.
I had hay cut down last week, and it rained on every day last week. I cut down hay last Saturday. It rained Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday on it.
Well, now that is the hay season after Labor Day.
Every time I've cut down hay this year, it's rained on it. And that I put up some hay this afternoon. That's the first hay I put up. I didn't get rained on.
Well, if you'd started the 1st of July, you'd had the same experience.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. It has rained all night. Boy, we got some clover over there. Some clover like this. I got about 35 acres. Boy, that's just as pretty as you ever seen. That stuff has really grown.
Just had it bailed.
Yeah. When I mow it, it's going to rain.
Well, that stuff takes it a while to cure.
Oh, I think about 3 days to do it. Last year, we only let it have 2 days last year, son.
But you got a fluffer now.
Well, you don't want to fluff clover. You knock all leaves off of it.
Well, you better fluff it a little bit with them old stems.
If you fluff it, you'll sure knock the leaves off of it.
Yeah, that's what Johnny's at. I thought Johnny said he was
because I want to move that with a sickle bar.
You won't fluff it the first day.
On this Pangola stuff, I'll fluff it 2 or 3 times. After the sun hits it for about 2 or 3 hours, I go right back and fluff it.
Yes. Well, now you can do clover the same way at least once, just so you get it from line and sheets.
But. Now, I cut down a bunch of Pangola yesterday. It was real heavy. And I fluffed it twice yesterday. And now I came back today. When I came from church, I went out there and fluffed it. And I already got it in the barn.
Oh, that's more like it.
I mowed it down yesterday morning, and I built it this afternoon.
See, that's more like it.
That's really something.
When you fluff that stuff, I mean, it's just the same as it helps it cure. Because it fluffs it up, and that air can pass right through and help it dry out.
Yeah.
But this morning, but today when I went back down there to fluff it, after that, all that dew got on it yesterday, it pushed it right back down the ground.
Oh, did it?
The weight of the dew.
Oh, did it?
Well, it pushed it right back down the ground. And when I came in from church today, it was laying flat.
Well,
and I went right back, and you wouldn't think so, but it sure does. That dew will sure push it down.
Was it heavy?
Yeah, that pango was as thick as it could be.
I mean, heavy dew?
Oh, yeah, it was a heavy dew this last night. Went back about 12:30, or 1 o'clock, I guess, when I went out there and fluffed it this afternoon.
Well, I guess once it gets a little bit cured, then just a little moisture will.
Oh, it don't take much moisture, because I can be baling hay. I can go out there and bale hay all afternoon, and the closer it gets toward dark, the heavier the bales will start weighing.
You can sure tell the difference.
I can bale up. I can have it all windrowed. I can have it all windrowed.
Yeah.
And I can be baling along there, and the bales will be coming out about 55 pounds.
Yeah.
And I can bale up after the sun goes down, those bales will shoot on up to about 75 pounds.
Sure will.
Didn't
sure,
know that.
It'll draw that much moisture in there.
You know it when you go picking them up.
it'll draw that much moisture.
Right.
Yeah,
I was baling out there one day, and I had it all in the window.
It's not you now picking them up.
Huh? She's not picking them up.
I was baling the first bale this afternoon.
Here a few years ago, I was baling hay out there, had it all in the windrow, and it came a little light shower. Not enough hardly to even stop me. But I kept on going. And you know, I was baling before the rain hit them.
Yeah.
Just a little shower.
Yeah.
And it was weighing about 55 pounds. I was baling out about 55 pounds. And after that little light shower, no more rain than it was, they came out weighing almost 100 pounds. And it was, and the strings were busting them.
Oh, yeah.
The strings were even busting them. You can look back there and see the strings bust. They're so tight.
Oh, fine.
So you sure
can't. Yeah, I just had to quit.
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't think they'd draw that much moisture.
No, you wouldn't. Uh-uh.
But they
and the bales weren't really wet.
No, they weren't. They were just moist. Just a little bit of moisture.
Just a little moisture. But then they pack so much.
You've got all that water and dampness pack in there.
Yeah.
Right along with
it. And once you get a little dampness, it packs a whole lot more, don't it?
Yeah. You wouldn't always think it'd draw that much moisture from the ground.
You know, there's more ways to misdo your hay outswing.
I've been messing the hay now. This makes 22 years I put up hay, and every year I learn something new in it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I learn something
new. You learn by experience.
I learn something new every year when I put up hay.
Yeah.
How stupid I am messing with it.
Sometimes, well, I don't know.
Sometimes I think it'd be cheaper for me to take $1,200-$1,500 and go buy some darn hay rather than mess with it.
Let me tell you, don't you be too sure about that.
Well, sometimes you can't get what you want.
Not if you got the $1,200 or $1,500, you still can.
You gotta fertilize the stuff and everything, go to all that trouble putting it up.
You've got to look at the field the man's cutting, and you got to be there kind of when he cuts it and see it.
Yeah, well, what I mean is if I went off and bought the hay somewhere else. And
you get somebody's cruel Larry in there. I'm scared to death of that darn stuff.
Well,
a lot of people have come up and bought hay.
The only cruel Larry you had to worry about is a big pod.
Yeah, but
small pod don't hurt me.
People have come to us and bought hay and told us stories about where they bought hay someplace else and got some cruel Larry in there.
No, I'm
horses
just,
got a hold of it and killed them.
I just don't know where I'm going to put all my hay this year. I don't have enough room for it. I want to sell off a bunch of it, I guess.
Well,
I'm going to fill my barns up with pangola.
Oh.
You won't have any room for your
clover.
And we're going to have, there's going to be 3,000 bales of clover.
We're going to have to put some onto that shed back there, though.
I'm going to have to stack it out there under the sheds and see where it can.
You know,
clover is bringing a heck of a price. It's bringing from $1.50, $2 a bale in the
mm-hmm.
field, right in the field,
right,
and you pick
field,
it up, and you pick it up.
Yeah.
It's high. And what we got over there is really going to be good clover. There's no trash, no weeds in the.
There's not a weed in
the. That stuff is standing just like
field.
it's just now
you
going to
seed.
You
haven't seen it, have you?
No.
It's waist
Ooh,
deep,
it's
and it's just
beautiful.
Now going to seed. Just getting ready to go to seed. Just as green as it can be.
Well, maybe you ought to get onto that instead of the Pango.
Well, it'd be another 2 weeks before it's ready, though.
You mean it's not ready?
Not quite. Mm-hmm. It's not too
see,
growing
late,
yet.
We were late.
It'll be
now.
It'll grow for another 2 weeks yet. I'm hoping to get my almost other hay up first.
Well, you don't want it to grow too much.
Yeah, won't want to get a bill again.
Well.
Golly, 35 acres, you ought to get.
It ought to average about 100 bales an acre.
You see, one thing, the weatherman don't help you.
No, he
no.
sure don't. I can't depend on him.
Scattered showers.
I wait till he gets up there where it's 90 or 100% chances of rain, then I'll run out there and mow a bunch down.
When he says 20%,
when he says 20% chances of rain, you better leave your tractor under the shed.
That's the way it's worked every day.
It's the truth.
We haven't had any
well,
rain
sorry,
for 2 days.
Well, I'm sorry to get that. It wouldn't have taken too much. How much time? Oh, it kept you another hour and a half over there, wouldn't it?
What's that?
If you stayed for the meeting.
Well, you mean over the church?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I imagine so, because I imagine it was 1 o'clock before they got around to eating, I imagine. Because
okay.
A lot of the people, they went home to get their hot vittles and
yeah.
stuff off the stove and bring over there.
Yeah.
I noticed those... people live over at Hutchins, you know, on that ranch over there. What's her name on Wilkerson Place?
Hutchins.
Yeah. They stayed for dinner on the ground. And they went back home and got the stuff and then took it back over.
Yeah.
To church. They live around about 5 miles from church.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Do you know them people? No. They're real nice people. She talks like a Kentuckian, you know. She's really... really nice lady. I have never been over there to see her. One day I'm going to go over and visit with her.
No, she's a lot different than her brother, though. He was a colonel in the
yeah,
army.
Yeah, that's why I like her, I think, is because she's different than Wilkerson was.
Boy, he was he's a bird. He's a lawyer. He's a retired army colonel. And if he can't stick you, he don't want to deal with you.
There's no incentive for him to come around.
Now here, this is the first year he sold any cattle. He must have had 1,000 head of cattle out there. He won't sell a cave. He won't sell nothing.
He'd rather let them die.
He'd just let them die out there in the field.
Well, and that's
he won't sell.
He ought to be reported to the animal.
And he had about I guess 800,000 head of cattle out there, and he's got another place over the same amount of cattle on it. He has every kind of cattle. He has Angus, Hereford, Bramers, and everything else mixed up out there. He keeps them in pretty good shape, though. But he had this guy from Williston. He'd haul him a truckload of hay every day. And he's hauling, I think it was 120 bales of load. He's feeding that much a day. And he wasn't selling nothing.
And then they were dying.
So where was he getting all the money to do all this with if he wouldn't sell nothing?
He's a lawyer, too.
He's a lawyer. Woo!
In Orlando.
I don't know.
His clients are paying for the hay, I imagine.
Well, and the cows, too.
What a deal.
He'd buy cattle, but he wouldn't sell none.
Yeah.
That sounds crazy.
Well,
they are. Every time you go by there, you see a cow laying dead in the buzzard.
Yeah, the buzzard's
really?
Picking her bones.
Is that right?
You'd go
yeah.
By there. I haven't seen any this summer here. He's had quite a bit of grass there, but wait till the wintertime comes around.
But Hutchins themselves was doing a very good job, I think, considering what they had to do for all those animals. I don't think it was their fault. It was just his fault for overstocking the whole place.
Yeah.
But I've talked to different people, Mr. Brownlee and Mr. Branch there in Seminole Stores. They said he will not pay his bills. He won't pay his bill.
Yeah.
He'll run up a big bill and he won't pay it. And you had to take him to court. Mr. Brownlee had to take him to court to collect a big feed bill from him, somewhere around $12,000-$15,000. Mr. Branch, he had to take him to court for about $15,000-$20,000 feed bill.
Imagine that feed bill getting that big.
And they had to take him to court to collect. He won't pay.
He's got the money and he won't pay it.
He's got money, but he won't pay it.
But now he's a very sick man.
He's supposed to be pretty sick right now.
Very, very sick.
I think that's one reason he's selling off some of his stuff.
Maybe that's been the trouble all along. Maybe something.
He tried to get me to go down there. She called up here. What was it? Last year, I think it was. Wanted me to go down there and do some tractor work and stuff for him. I told her I just didn't have time to go down there and do it. He had a bunch of hay or something they wanted to put up. Well, I couldn't even put my own hay up.
Yeah.
Want me to go down there and put up hay.
Well, you ought to. You got to be neighborly.
Well, I was. I just told him I didn't have time.
Hey, well.
Yeah, I am working at the university, coming home in the afternoon, working an hour or two for myself, and I sure couldn't go over there and put up any hay. I don't know how much he had. I think he had 40 acres over there he wanted to put up. I couldn't go over there and mow that and bale that. There's no way I could do it.
You could have helped him a little bit and then come back and got your own.
We did that one year and lost all our hay.
I sure did. I did that over at Island Grove one time.
Yeah.
I went over there and put up.
You know what would happen
I
to
got
a man?
Chicken perlo sitting on the stove and everything.
What would happen to a man?
We've just been eating all
the
odd hours all day.
Set out and determined to be neighborly.
Yeah.
I don't
if
know.
Somebody come in.
Everybody would take advantage of him. And he'd starve death. He'd just be so neighborly.
If
just,
you went down there and put up that 40 acres, what would you get out of it?
Well,
thank you.
Thank you. I've got that before. Sometimes I haven't even got a thank you out of it.
Oh.
Isn't that something?
Sometimes I haven't even got a thank you out of doing stuff.
He's put up a whole slew of fencing for people and all. He
I told you.
You didn't even get a thank you. Didn't get a thank you for
what?
That, did you? For that fencing you put up for
no.
People?
No, you don't know. He thanked me. He said, "Sure, thank you, but."
But what?
But he said, "Well, the way it was, I went over there. I wasn't working in the university, and I'm more or less, you know, just working for myself. I went over there. Yep, I took my tractor over there and went over there and did a lot of work for him. Went over and took my pole stove diggers, went along there and put the post in the ground. We were working along there. I wasn't planning on charging them nothing for it to start with, and all of a sudden he." Took his digger, stuck him up in the ground, and put his hands on his hip and looked at me. And I went, "What the heck?" He said, "You know you're not getting paid for this, don't you?" That's what he said.
Is that to say
you know,
you're
not
crazy
paid
for coming over here working so
I said,
hard?
Yeah, I said, "I know it." I said, "I wasn't planning on getting paid. I said, just doing it to be friendly." And then when I went around there and on the other side of his place there, he had a heck of a place, a bunch of palmettos there I was cutting up with my bushing bog, making my fence throw out through there. And one of those, a root caught the valve stem on my right front tar and yanked that valve stem off of there, and that tar went right down flat. Yeah, I was stuck. He walked over and looked at it. Yeah. He said, "That's bad." He said, "I'm sorry, but I don't have no time to help you." He said, "I wish I had time to help you, but," he said, "I got too much to do."
And he walked on
here. I was working for him for nothing. Cutting out of central and everything.
And
you think he'd stop
and
help me fix my tire out there, work for him?
Or take him to town so he could get his own tire fixed.
That's awful.
His son went over there, Jimmy Gleason. He went over there and helped me, went back and got his old Model A. And came back over there and helped me take the tire off and put it back. I took and put it in my car and took it on town and got it fixed. I had to get a new valve stem on it.
But if it hadn't been
when,
Jimmy,
when I got back,
to town.
I took it to Latimer's and I think they charged me $1.75 to put another stem on it, on the tube.
Plus all your trip.
Plus trouble going in there. And when he got back, I figured, well, he'd pay me for the putting the valve stem on there anyhow. What did the charge you fixing the tube? I said $1.75. Well, that's not so bad. Just kept on working.
Crazy. But those are the kind of neighbors we got.
Well, I tell you, when I used to like, you know, do a little work for the church though. And I got burned up there in Orlando one time with a church. They was going to have them clean up day around the church and everything. And the preacher, that was for a long time before me. Before I even started going to Shirley.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, well, that was a long time ago. But the preacher asked me if I had a mower machine. I said, "Yes, I got one I made. I had one I made, wrote it." So I took it down there lawnmower. So I went down there and I mowed around the church and everything. He had one, and he mowed some. I had three or four of us brought a mower machine down there and mowed around the church and got it all cleaned up and everything. Well, then during services, right before services, he got up there. Well, I got the yard all cleaned up. It's I.
He didn't say a word.
He didn't say a word about anyone happening. Well, I got the lawn all mowed out here, and he said it really looks nice. He said started getting up there and bragging. I felt just like taking my shoe off and throwing it out.
And all those other guys fixed everything.
I got the yard mowed, he said, and tree hedges trimmed and everything. Had a bunch of guys came there.
Well, after all, he has the floor, but
yeah,
he's not going to get up and toot your horn.
He sure didn't toot my horn. He tooted his horn real loud.
Everybody that did know it noticed it and told him about it.
But
they did.
Yeah.
But I didn't take my lawnmower down there no more.
Yeah.
I said, since he did it, he can do it again. Next time without my help. I hate to be mad.
Yeah, but you learn so hard, Berman, and you don't have to learn.
Yeah, but I never get through learning, it looks like.
I don't know. Sometimes I think it's a great mistake for me to ever try to do anything myself, because I don't get any help. So I could help a few people myself. And then I think about it. It ain't as easy to help people as you might think.
No, it ain't.
There's a very often.
They got their own ideas. Right. And they're
when
going
you
to
go over there and start helping
people,
you start going to start help someone. He's wanting something from me. He's going to take me for a ride. The very first chance he gets, he's wanting
treated.
Something. He wouldn't be over helping me.
Yeah.
That's the attitude a lot of people take, you know.
Yeah.
He's wanting something.
Just like Cleveland. You know you're not going to get paid with you. Were you crazy fool?
You can't depend on help no more. I don't hire nobody.
You're just lucky to have help in your own family.
What help I get there is from Shirley. Looking at. Anybody can drive a darn tractor. Tommy can do that. Drive the tractor along there while we throw the hay on it. And that John and I will throw the hay on there and let the other boys roll it off and we get ready down the load.
Yeah.
But
at least you got that.
But before,
yeah,
before Johnny was, when Johnny was just 5 years old when we moved down here, I got this Gleason boy to help me with my hay. And we had about 500 bales of hay on the ground there one day, and he went home to eat dinner. And he didn't show up. He didn't come back. We was going to put that hay in the barn. Here we had all that darn hay to put up.
Yeah.
And he didn't show up. He didn't come back. The next day, he showed up. I asked him where he was. Well, he said, I went home to eat dinner. And he said, you know, there was such a good football game on that television. He said, I had to stay home and watch it.
Yeah. How old was he?
He was going to college.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was 20.
And all he wanted to do when he did come to work for us was drive that brand new tractor.
And we was up there way up dark putting up that hay because I didn't want to get wet. I'm afraid it might rain or something.
My experience is they don't want to help me whenever they get somebody. They want me to help them. If there's any work to do, you see, they'll get up on the tractor and I'll load the wagon.
Here it was only about 2 months ago, I was down at the creek one day. You know where Nail's Fish Camp is?
Yeah.
Well, I know her. She's real good. She's a real nice person, but she gets you goats sometimes. I went in there one day, and I hadn't seen her for 6 months, I guess. I don't go in there too often. In fact, I don't go down the creek too often. I just go down and get gas and go on about my business. But I went in there and...
She got good service down there?
Yeah, she got good prices, too. And but Mr. McFarland, I built a room on his house last year. John and I went down and built a room and a porch on it, a screened-in porch on the back of his house. And I saved him quite a bit. I think actually for labor and everything, cost him about $1,200 or $1,300. And there's some guy, a carpenter here in town, he had up there for almost about $4,000 for labor. He really had a price to build a house for what he wanted. But anyhow, we got through with that, and she'd evidently been under to see it or something other. I had to match it up with the rest of the house. And she's building a little duplex across the road from her fish camp to rent. That's a double apartment, is what it was. Had all the blocks up, the floor poured, all the plumbing in. And she said, I noticed she hadn't had the roof on. She had all the trusses laying there in a pile. No one to put them on. She was sitting there at the cashier. She said, "Miss Dodge, you do carpenter work, don't you?" I said, "Sometimes." I said, "I don't know how much time to do it." She said, "I need somebody to put the trusses on my apartments over there for me." She said, "I don't have no one to do it." She said, "I can get some help," but she said, "I just don't trust him doing a job getting it done right." She said, "I need someone to make sure it's done right." She said, she goes to church down at that new church at the creek, you know. She's one of the big doers in that church. And she said, "I got 3 men that will donate their time if I can get someone to help them." She said, "I'm wondering if you could help them. Otherwise, she's wanting me to donate my time." She said, "You can do it in a day."
That got his guilt.
I can do it in a day. Put all them trusses up and put the sheet and everything
donate,
on it.
Donate his time all in one day.
And she wanted me to donate my time. I know that's what she wanted, because she said she had 3 other guys that would donate their time. Three other guys that would donate their time.
Yeah.
If I could get someone to supervise it for me.
You could tell them that your fee was $500 a day.
Then finally I left. I already left. She said, "I'll tell you what I'll do." She said, "I'll give you $100 if you happen." I said, "No, I'll tell you what." She said, "I just thought maybe you could use $100 extra $100.
Well, can't blame her for being shrewd. She
but you go down there and get a meal.
Boy, oh boy, I'll tell you.
You pay for it.
Mother's Day, was it? You went
down
there?
Yeah, I went down there on Mother's Day, and I decided, well, this is Mother's Day, and I told Cheryl, I said, "Don't fix nothing." I said, "I'll go down there and get nailed and fry up the fried chicken and stuff." So I supposed to got a serving for 7 people. It was, she charged me $17 and a half. And you ought to see what it was. 2 pieces of chicken apiece, and I think she cut up quail for that, because they're lawful small pieces. A chicken. You don't see no drumsticks. It's about that long. And it looked like someone already ate half the meat off of it.
Yeah. Oh, you got a beach or two.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
And it tasted like it was fried in hog grease.
And the bowl of peas, nothing but warmed up English peas. And I don't think there's over a can there. That's no kidding. The little bowl, about that big around, and it's supposed to have been divided 7 ways among us. And then she had a bowl of coleslaw, and that coleslaw, I know darn well, it had been made for 2 or 3 days. It was old.
Yeah.
And then beans, same as beans. And none of it was warm.
Those black-eyed peas, I think, been all warmed over
and
warmed
then
over.
And 7
over.
Little pieces of cornbread.
And there wasn't enough
for $17.
Right.
And then she told me she gave me a cut rate on that.
And I gave
she charged
it to
more
chickens.
To other people.
You gave it to the chickens.
I gave it to the chickens. We couldn't eat it. It was
that
was, it
was actually
almost full.
Actually, it was. I we couldn't even eat it. The kids didn't even want to eat it.
Well, you know,
and Freddie Wood told me down here. He said him and his wife and their boy. This was he told me that here
when they were doing the watermelon.
Yeah, a long time ago. He said him and his wife and his son, they went down there and got supper one night. He said he was tired and everything. She happened to be over there. He said they decided they'd go down to Nails and get supper. So they got a child's plate and their plate, and it was around $12 or something.
You mean that?
That's what she charges everybody.
She'll
charge you just to stand there and look around.
Well, don't they have the prices listed anywhere?
I haven't seen the prices.
They charge you whatever you they whatever.
There's no
they
prices
look
around
no one. I think they look at you and your pocketbook and everything else when they. I don't know.
I don't know how
in the world
she does, but she has a heck of a price on everything.
Somebody went down there, a family, a foursome. It was 2 couples. It was four people. And they ordered, what was it? Shrimp. Wasn't it shrimp or fish of some kind? Anyway, they argued about who was going. One said, "I'll pay it." No, the other one said, "I'll pay it." And then they decided they'd pay, you know, go Dutch. Each couple pay for their own. But the entire bill came to $27.50. Both of them almost fainted.
Oh, this is.
Matter of fact, one guy had to.
I don't know how
to work
these people come back, and she gets
his.
And she has them standing in line to get in there. That's what I don't understand. How They must love to throw the money away.
I thought it was sort of, you know, family.
It's a,
but there's no set price.
No.
No, you go there, they set it right on the table. She has maybe dinner be served from 12 to 2. After that, there's nothing. She puts it away.
And then when you go by the cash register to pay for what you had, then she asks you what you had, or she knows what you had, and she's already made you up a bill before you get to the cash register. And boy, she really... She really told
me. I remember not to go there.
Nails.
I remember not to go there.
Yeah. Good place to stay away from. The other place across
the Yearling.
That's about the cheapest dish I think you can get there.
Yeah, but
they serve
whiskey and everything
but
else.
But they serve you
it's
a
quite
drink.
A rough place,
they
I think.
They serve you drinks at Mountain. Of course, it goes up and up and up.
Rough.
I don't know. We don't drink, so we don't go in there at all. But I've heard tell that you could run up an awful bill just sitting there eating supper and drinking a few drinks.
I used to eat out all the time. I sure would. It'd break a man now, wouldn't it?
Oh, goodness,
okay.
Yeah. I get so when I go at work, when I go into some of those little restaurants, I just lose my appetite going in there.
Yeah.
Sometimes he'll take his lunch, sometimes he'll buy it.
I don't even care about going in there. I get so tired of hamburgers and junk like that.
Yeah.
Every one of them is light, and I just get to the place where I don't even care about eating them.
Remember this fella down here at that Hereford place, that big rich man down there, where the fella is who runs it. What's his name? He furnishes hay to all those horse farms. He just sells vast quantities of hay. Angola mostly, I think. Maybe not now. I know Willie Chitty wanted to get some hay one year, so he watched him when he's cutting, and he saw some good hay over there one day when he was there, so he just took his truck right, he just picked out the bales he wanted and hauled it off in his truck, little pickup truck. I guess 150, 200 bales, that's all he needed. Now that's, but they do. You don't know them?
No.
Who is it? What's that big place down the road here, you see?
I can't think of the name either.
Whereabouts is it at?
It's just down the road, about 10 miles, you know.
Miss that Ocala.
Oh, yes. It's,
Is it on 301? I mean,
441? Freddie used to farm there.
On 441?
Yeah.
Yes, it's in.
Is where that Mexican?
No, that's on the old 301. How far is it from that Norris Cattle Company on there where they have all the brands?
I don't know. It's this side of there, I think.
On this side of there.
Yeah.
Bo Peep.
No, this is not a horse farm.
Well,
that's
a cattle. Yeah.
This cattle. All he has is Herefords. Horn Herefords.
Horn Hereford. Oh. What is his name?
G.P. Leitner runs it.
But
he don't own it. But anyhow.
You mentioned his name on the phone to me a few times.
Yeah.
I can't think
anyhow,
of his name.
Anyhow, I haven't been down there in a long time. But I'd kind of like to see what they do.
You know him.
He's a good farmer, Leitner.
Mm-hmm.
He went broke, but that's not nothing. You know,
don't say that well.
I think he did well to stay in business as long as he did. He stayed in business from 1960 or something like that. And then he got so far in the hole, he just couldn't get out. So the bank recommended him to this fella. And he's a little slick. You have to watch him. But you do that anyhow. I mean, watch him. You know the fella I was banking on talking to, seeing some more, was a man you dealt with watermelons that first year.
Yeah, Wilkinson.
Dick Wilkinson.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
He was
a good farmer.
Yeah.
Finu is performing pretty good.
Now, his brother up there, he don't farm much. He just hires out now.
I don't know him.
He's not a colorful character. He's just an everyday guy. But
yeah.
Wilkerson really stood out. Dick Wilkerson. But this one here, he's very quiet. He goes about his own business, and he doesn't associate very much.
Who's that?
His brother.
His brother.
I don't know him.
I used to see his brother up there at the Baptist church up there.
Is Archie Dick's son? Is he more like Dick or his uncle?
I don't know his uncle.
I mean Archie.
I know Archie. He's
sociable. Isn't he?
Yeah, he's real sociable.
I don't know.
He lives over there.
I wouldn't know him if I seen him.
I know him. I've seen him several times. He works for Bell Telephone. He's a lineman, a telephone company.
You had good melons this year, Grandma.
Well.
But the season was a little screwy or something, wasn't it?
Yes, it sure was.
You had that gasoline shortage about that time, didn't you?
Yeah, we had a gasoline shortage, but see, we had so much rain it ruined our hay for our melons, you know.
No.
That early rain, it just drowned them down there in the back. We didn't get them all. We planted 50 acres, but actually wound up with about 25. It just ruined the whole back in our field. No melons.
Back in where it went.
Yeah.
And then what we did.
And then when it came in, we came in at the wrong time.
Yeah.
We only got 2 cents a pound for them, which was nothing. And about 3 weeks later, the price jumped up to 3.5-4 cents a pound.
Yeah.
There you go.
Think of that. Week later. You know, the whole thing has been such curious things happen that affect the market.
Yeah.
Like when Shirley sold the cows. That was.
He wanted me to sell out the whole works.
Yeah, I did.
We don't have very many left.
Yeah.
We've called out.
Last week, the market was bad.
I don't really have very
well. Good. You got to keep a little nucleus of something to work with.
Yeah,
that's it.
You can't sell down the
market.
No.
But it's tempting, I guess, with the prices.
Yeah, that's what I told her. Just sell it and just hold on to the money.
Yeah.
People standing around there begging for cows and stuff, and now everybody buy 2 or 3 calves. They got about an acre in the back of the yard. They're trying to. They can go and get rich off that 1 acre with some caves in it, you know.
Yeah.
You every time over where you go around, you know, you see someone got 2 or 3 caves in the backyard trying to raise them. I think they're gonna get rich.
How much was it we made on knots? They bought the bull, 2 cows, or 3 cows? And
2 cows.
3 cows, wasn't it? Yeah, 93 Lyles and 300. Three cows, a calf, and Patrick.
I don't remember.
Well, the cows went for 500, wasn't it? 450, 500. 450 and 500 for the one that had the calf.
But they weren't the prime cows.
Yeah, they were pretty good. The ones they picked out, they just picked them out, and I sold them because we.
But the doggone market.
But that market
we
then
went,
was high.
I went to market
now,
here.
So I didn't really do a very good job on the cows. I got to
see. It was Monday week ago. Tomorrow would be 2 weeks ago when we went to market, and we bought some stuff over there. And the same thing that they're selling there then last Monday, it dropped at 20-25 cents a pound on the hoof.
That's back.
Oh, that's.
10 years ago.
Yeah, it was. That's no kidding.
$7.25.
That good stuff. Good stuff.
That
was I hadn't been over there, but Toby, I had 2 or 3 to tell me about it. Toby over at work for Brownlee, he said he was over there last Monday, and he said stuff was weighing around 300 pounds, 300 or 400 pounds. I want to bring him 30 and 35 cents a pound on the hoof.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
Why did you run into Toby?
They're brown. They work for Brownlee's feed store.
Oh, you down there? You go down there.
I go down there and buy feed from them.
Well, that's about as high price That's the best you can do?
Well, it's the best feed in town.
It is?
At Farmer's Mutual, we get cobwebs.
I buy cow feed there, and I don't know, maybe it's different now, but here when we first moved down here.
And they don't always have it at Farmer's Mutual.
No.
Tried to buy and feed over at Hawthorne. I had a little feed store over there. And you get the cow dairy feed to have webs and bugs crawling around in it and musty smelling. And she cow just wouldn't eat it. So I figured, heck, I'm not going over there and buying feed no more. And so I tried that at Farmer's Mutual, and their feed come out musty in the same way. And I tried that at Ferris and Johnson. Finally, I went over to Brownlee's and got something. Well, it had good fresh feed. It had a good sweet smell to it. So the cow liked it. So I've been buying it over there ever since. But
they've got. I'm not going to give you anything either.
No, they sure won't. I don't know. Maybe their feed's different now. I don't know. But I've been buying feed at Brownlee's ever since. In fact, I just quit buying dairy feed.
Never have tried Seminole.
Well, they're way out the way and everything.
They'll come right behind.
Well, I know they'll deliver it for me and everything, but what I mean, see, I'm in town every day, and last time I think of something I want right then, I was running going by there and get it on the way home.
Yeah.
It's too convenient. It's really is.
Yeah.
Really.
I'd like to see you try some of that Seminole stuff just to see how it stacks up against the other
Have you ever bought feed from C&L over in Melrose?
No, I don't have anything to haul in, Charlie. I'd shop around if I did.
They're trying their darndest. Mr. Baker wants Johnny, when he gets his steer, to start buying feed from C&L.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got a profit in this somewhere along the line.
Sounds
but
like
anyhow, they've got a new system. There's some kind of the vitamins that you put in with the feed. And you give them corn, strictly nothing but corn, in the morning, and then something like a steer fattener in the evening. But you put this vitamin, Metcalf, something like this, the name of it. You add it to the feed, and it really makes a steer grow off real good. So they're trying their darndest to get Johnny to put this steer on the same formula that they want the chapter steer on. Well, it's up to them as a group to decide. They were supposed to, as a group, go out and buy the steer, but somehow or another it's all messed up this year. Pat Baker is the one that is purchasing the bull without even the boys looking at it. This is no way to do it.
Mm-mm.
And then, too, they're all supposed to agree on where the feed's to come from, what kind of feed they're going to feed it, and all this, but they're out of the whole picture, and it kind of burns me up. And they wanted to sell Johnny a runny Black Angus steer. Johnny said,
turn out to be runny?
That's what he thinks. Mr. Baker went over there today. Well, see, he was just buying it on the telephone, hadn't even looked at it.
Yeah.
So Mr. Baker went over there. Yeah, he went over there today, and he saw it. And he said, he says, if you can get another steer anywhere, he says, get another one. Get another steer. So I said, well, we'll tell Mr. Miles. Johnny wanted me to call you back this evening and let you know that he's definitely.
Well, Johnny, he had a little bad luck, you know, when he first got it. He didn't get the short in the show and that bull and everything. You think King got pneumonia?
Yeah.
Just at the time the show started.
Yeah.
And then he didn't get the show. He wanted to take him to the Tampa Fair, and then here he was with pneumonia. He had pneumonia for a couple months, on and off.
He really had plans.
Yeah.
Oh, Johnny was.
Oh, he was. He'd had plans of taking him to the Tampa Fair and everything else. I'm sure he could have won some ribbons with him.
He's going to show them again in February. He wants to so bad.
Yeah.
But even though he sold them, the lady that bought them has given him permission to take him to Tampa Fair to see what he can do with
them. Yeah, but darn, he needs to spend his time with his own stuff.
I know.
Go all the way over there and take
wind
up
them heavy
a couple
and
days.
They're grooming them every day, so... they're working with him just like Johnny would have worked.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I hate to change the subject, but it's getting late.
Yeah, I know it. We got those kids to pick. Right. I haven't even fed them supper yet, and I got to get them in bed.
And you haven't. What about me? I haven't had none either.
You know.
Well,
either.
I told you I'd get some chicken. You. Charlie said she had chicken at home.
I got chicken perlow sitting on the stove.
Well, they had chicken parlo at noon.
Yeah, we're going to have some more for supper.
Well, that was something coming here without a wrapped up, and I give him a glass of water.
That's all right. We didn't. We've been.
You missed a toothpick, though.
We've been running around. So I was at the hospital, and he had to feed the boys dinner. Bonnie and I ate before we left, and then he fed them the dinner while we were gone. We got back in. He was out mowing hay. He'd already put some in the barn.
I put up a little bit this afternoon.
And,
I think I had about 75 bales I put up.
And they were supposed to bring that chapter steer out this afternoon, so Johnny sat and waited and watched, and they didn't bring that bull out, that steer out, so somebody goofed along the line. At least I did get Bonnie to the hospital back.
Let's figure out then what we're going to do here.
Yeah, he wanted to know about how many cows you had.
So we know what we're going to do. What you got, you're going to sell.
I'm going to sell them all.
How many heads is that?
I got 20 cows and 5 red heifers. And 8 of the weanlings, that's a year and a half old. And I get busy at the calf season. I know to take them in, you see, but I didn't do it. And then I heard about those big crowds, you see, that there's so many of them. They're taking in so many, and I thought, Lord help us. I'll take calves up there, and they'll be midnight before they get sold.
Yeah, well, that's
and cool. you know what you do, you just keep putting it off.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Berman, this feed business on the calves. Now the only trouble is, you see, those calves, they just bound it. Somebody gotta save calves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the world just got too many people eating.
Right.
That's right.
And you just don't know how long it lasts and what it is. You see, the at Washington, it seems to be the place that goofs as much as anything else.
Well, they goof
mm-hmm.
all down there.
And you see, they're exporting so much. You know what I heard the fella say? Now, he was an official in the some farm magazine. But anyhow, he was, you know, he's a cattleman, had been
mm-hmm.
in the cattle business. And he said that in the wheat, that a 5% surplus would cut the price down 20%. And
mm-hmm.
that's how sensitive the thing was. And you see what it is, it's just those damn traders up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like people raise wheat for those traders.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the traders or the vegetable buyers that put the farmers out of business here. Or
mm-hmm.
they still be raising vegetables, but you can't raise them. It's just like you're selling watermelons. You may be selling them for 2 cents, and the fellow you sell them to may be selling them for 5 cents.
Yeah,
you don't
right.
know.
Selling more than that.
So you see, that's I think that affects it. And you see these big people with all those storage places. I think you see they can. Well, that's way more. I'm outside the script. You see, that's more than I know. But that's
so you'd have so you got 20 cows. That'd be 13 cows. You said 13 heifers?
20 cows and 8 and 5 bred heifers.
5 is bred.
Yeah. The other one Shirley likes.
Yeah. One thing, we're not be able to take all of them because I don't see how. We just don't have the pasture for all of them.
Well, I'll tell you just how it is.
If we.
Well, how much are you wanting for the cows?
Well, he wants to sell them all together.
Yeah, I know that, but I mean
but
a piece.
Berman, I have had a pretty close offer for $450 for the cows and the bred heifers. And I'm not sure just what the others will bring.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine around, oh, I don't know, 350, 375, the eight weanlings, I call them.
Well, our problem is I don't know whether we're going to be able to get enough money up or not.
I think your problem is your this fall and then next spring you got to have some bahia something to
yeah
well I'm see I'm hold. Clearing up those oaks, so I'm gonna plant all that in bahia.
Is what kind of bahia did you say this is he's got out here? Argentina.
It looked like Argentina.
Is
what
that Argentina?
Is that Argentina or Pensacola?
Well, I just got Pensacola.
That's Pensacola.
Pensacola.
Real
yeah.
thick.
But you know what? Now there's not many people who have bahia grass who make the most out of it.
Mm-hmm. They don't fertilize it. They don't take care of it.
Well, you know how to take care of it, of course.
Yeah.
And all, but it'll go, you see, from so early,
mm-hmm.
right
yeah.
up until the frost knocks it out.
Yeah. It's your best pasturing.
And, yes. And I have heard him say this, that, now, I thought the contrary, but I'm coming around to it a little bit. They say you can fatten on bahia just as much as you can on anything else.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep the bahia in good shape.
Yeah.
Well,
that's all Mrs. Gleason has over there, isn't it?
I know, that's all she got.
Yeah, boy, her cows are fat.
Oh, they
just
are.
Like yours.
They are?
Yeah.
They're not her cows, they're Ben Arnold's cows.
Well, he takes care of them in the wintertime, though. She didn't do as good a job, I don't think, as he did.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That means a lot, keeping them, you know, healthy and big during the winter time, then in the spring they're already on a good start for the
yeah.
bahia.
The guys'
yeah.
cows never have gone down. They,
I know
they,
it.
They never have even looked as if they've had cows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they scrap in the winter now.
Those that I bought
you're
from
you're not
going to
keep
they
none
don't
of them.
Lose their weight.
No,
they're not keep some of them.
Well, it's like this, Berman. I do way under too much typing. That's right now.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go out there, I'm sort of half cock-addled. And then at the best, you see, if something goes wrong with the machinery, I'm more likely to bust it if I fix it, you see. And I can't get any help.
Mm-hmm.
We can't even get anybody to custom. He said if he could get somebody to plant his rye.
Yeah, if I could get
some
little
custom,
bit.
No, there's less and less people doing this anymore. They won't.
See, I was doing custom work until I started working over at university. I just
that,
not
that in the whole,
yeah.
whole
I just
head.
Couldn't do it no more.
Oh, no.
I couldn't even get my own work done.
No, you couldn't do it.
It's killing him now, and he had to give up the scouts. Now
I told him over there I just had to quit that. I just couldn't get my hay up and do all my work and everything.
I don't know how you do it.
And,
we were
and go
running around
over there and then
we
go spend the night, camp out with them boys, and every once in a while I just couldn't do it.
Oh, no.
And then go to all these meetings and stuff they have.
But we figured when
well,
he started it,
you,
he had
you,
to spend
you
some
you
time with the kids.
You need to do that, too.
Yeah. Needs to go take these boys out and go camping
yeah.
with them, fishing with
that'd
them.
That'd be
worth
more to you than all that hay.
But he's just got to...
Well, you have got to get something up for him to eat. If I'm going to neglect them, I might as well get rid of them.
Well, yeah, that's right. Well, you see, if I had just a little help, you couldn't buy. I you couldn't hire me to get rid of those cows. Because
well,
see,
that's
I
where
I feel about them. I just like to go out there and mess with them.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's so good to get him outside.
Yeah.
Yes, and you see, they don't care if you raise your voice.
No, they don't bother. They don't care one bit.
No, sir.
You must do what I do out there.
And you know what? Let me tell you, one of the things I know
well, bless
about
them
those cows, you can get behind them, you see if they don't move, you can, your voice moves them better than anything else. And as soon as you get where you're going, they know it, and they just relax. I never saw anything like it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can go up there and tickle her ribs, you want to?
I wish they'd been where they were last year. We were all together on the ride.
We had no problem. You should have seen it. We didn't go to them.
They
all came to us.
And they just stood there and I went around and patted everyone off.
Well, I'll tell you what the way we're situated. See, now you got, I think you're going to want more for them than what we got. That's our problem. That's why I asked you if you were going to keep any of them.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking
too, is only the cows.
I'll tell you what I got. I got 11,000. And you got more cows than I got money.
Well.
So we were thinking either the heifers or the cows and maybe their calves or something.
You got more cows than I got money to buy. Shirley said you wanted to sell them all together.
Well, I can put in rye for all of them, body diseases.
True. Put it in, you might as well put it in for all of them, just put it in for two or three.
Yeah, and it's just about as easy to put in 30 or 40 as it is 10.
How many were you wanting to sell, the little steers along with the cows, or the bunch, or are you going to sell them to market, or what? Well, you mentioned something about getting them up in the pen, so I couldn't understand what you were.
Well, I was just marking the heifers that looked as if they were to tell who the mamas were. Is all.
Uh-huh. No, I meant the steers. You remember you said something about getting them up in the pen Monday, and I was just wondering if you were going to take them.
Maybe heifers all that I wanted.
Oh.
Well, you have 20 cows. That'd be $450 a piece. That'd be $9,000, wouldn't it? Then you got 8 head. Those heifers, you said, $350 a piece.
It'd be somewhere around there.
24. That'd be $2,800. Then you got 5 heifers. It's bred, you said, didn't you?
Yeah.
They were they're the same price as the cows.
Yeah. They are, but the same body, Berman. What I'm worried about is, you need a little bit before you take them on. You need a little bit more permanent pasture.
Mm.
Is what sort of worries me. You see here,
well,
I've got twice too much.
Yeah.
And they do beautifully here, but they.
And they never get this down. You see, to the sand.
How soon would you have to move them?
How soon?
Yeah.
Well, you could leave them as long as you want to.
Well, I got about 10 acres of those oats cleaned up. I'm trying to clear up all of those. I want to put them by head grass.
Well, it takes you 2 years for the head grass.
Well, if you sow it real good, get a good, sow it good and heavy, you get a good stand.
They love it that first year. It must be sweet and tender that first year.
Mm.
When the picking's there, you know.
Mm. You got down at the creek, he bought a lot down there, and that crazy guy, he went out there and a lot is no bigger, about twice as big as your house, and he put around about 200 or 300 pounds of hay grass on that one lot.
Yeah.
You ought to have seen the grass. Boy, he had instant grass. It wasn't 2 or 3 weeks. He had two or three sprinklers running at one time out there on that stuff.
Is that right?
And it wasn't 2 or 3 weeks' time. He had grass like this, and that stuff got so thick out there.
Ah,
I never seen
he
the like.
He wasn't long. He was out there pushing the lawnmower.
He got to put a solid coat of grass seed on that ground.
And the next time we'd go by through there, it wouldn't be a day or two later. He was mowing again. He's mow. He was driving.
Well, right there in our
crazy
front yard, we saw it. We sprigged that, you know.
Looked like he was
I sowed grass seed out there
morning
in the front yard trying to get some grass running in front of my house.
Yeah.
Couldn't get nothing to come up. I put sprinklers and everything on, nothing come up. So finally I decided, heck with this, I'm gonna sprig you. So I went out there and put little rows about every 12 inches apart through there, and I sprigged it.
Yeah.
Boy, I got a sod out there now.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful lawn. We got a few sand spurs.
Yeah, I got to go. Every time before I mow anything, I'd go down and put up those sand spurs.
Yeah. You know what'll knock them faster? Though.
What's that?
Those fertilizers.
Well, it knocked me too, because I had to mow it twice as often. I went out there and I fertilized that thing here.
Yeah.
Year before last, I was good gracious. I had to go out there. All I did was mow that front yard.
Well, that only gives you an idea of what it what your Bahia will do with a little bit of fertilizer out in the pasture.
That's right. That's right.
I love Bahia.
Well, now you see this back lane? It's never had a rut in it since I've been here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just put a very, just sprinkle it a little bit of fertilizer every now and then. And the cows graze it.
Mm-hmm.
The only rut in it is where they walk. You can't keep, I haven't found any remedy for that.
Yeah. No, you won't get rid of that because they all follow the leader. And they get a path out and they keep going.
I want to take Shirley over to Maxie Nixon's.
That's the guy I thought you were talking about. No, it's not him. No.
I want to see it myself.
What's that?
Now, Maxie is an old cabbage, old bean farmer, way over there past Shiloh. He's the original stock, and his old family's there. What's left of them? They stuck right there. He got a couple of sisters who live up on the little red house there on the land there. Both of them deaf. He deaf.
Oh.
Hard of hearing goes in some families. You know that?
I didn't know that.
And that's awful. Not to be any more serious than it is. Being hard of hearing. Mm-hmm. Well, anyhow, he got all that land, and it's heavy land. And he got a lot of wood. He's cleared up a whole lot of it, but he's got a lot of woods left. And the first time I saw it, now he's the one, you see, that leaves the bull with the cows, and the cows wean their own calves.
Mm-hmm.
And you see calves on them cows big enough to be cows themselves. Oh. I'm telling you, it's comical. You know how that is.
It is.
And the cows are in good shape.
Oh, stay in good shape. What am some of them? Well, let me tell you what. I was over there, it must have been 2 years ago, because I tried it over here that following winter, and I didn't have luck at all. But I think I know why. That was the first year they put in ryegrass.
Mm-hmm.
And they put it right there with the Pangola or with the Bahia, you see. Just, you know how they did it.
Mm-hmm.
They just scattered it there. They didn't make a seed bed, they just scattered
it. Yeah, we always do. I just scatter it. Broadcast it.
And fertilize it.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff come up heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And it held them cows all winter. I don't know what he fed those cows.
The trouble is, ryegrass don't have no protein to it.
He gave them pellets.
Oh, yeah, that's probably what it was. And he gave them pellets with high protein.
Yeah.
He
gave
them
the clover, I mean the rye for a filler.
Filler, yeah.
Yeah, well, it was heavy. Well, I tried it over here, and I fertilized it too. And mine didn't hardly come up. And I think what happened was that next winter it was warm and it never, when I fertilized it, it just kept the Bahia grass growing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the ryegrass never had
never
a chance
did do
to
it.
Go.
Never did do it.
I put a little bit out here in the yard and it did well about May.
The rye?
The ryegrass.
In May?
Well, it was awful late.
Yeah, but doesn't it? It takes cold weather to do anything.
Well,
why did it come up? I wonder.
Everything comes up in our yard because it never gets cold.
Well, it just came up late, and then it hit it out, and it was knee high and all like that. Well, anyhow, I didn't get any good out of it.
Mm.
So I'm not a believer in ryegrass.
Well, I just thought last year I wasn't gonna plant no more ryegrass. I'd rather take that money and put it in feed.
Well, you never planted ryegrass.
Every year.
Every year we did.
You talking about rye.
Yeah, rye, just rye.
I'm talking about ryegrass.
The grass.
The grass.
You're talking about the grass. I'm talking about the rye.
I'm talking about ryegrass.
Hmm.
Yeah, you got to have a
seed.
No
wonder it came up May. That's I was turned around too there, yeah.
Well, anyhow, I didn't get anywhere with it, and I don't have the nerve to try it again.
But this Maximilian, he has the rye grass.
He did that year. I don't know whether he had a sense or not, but he still got them cows and lightning killed some of them.
It's way up
Well, now, does that come back year after year, or you have to cut it, or is it seeds itself?
You got to reseed it.
You have to reseed it.
You got to all rye, millet, and all that stuff.
The hay is better.
I really think that's
every bit of it. You got to go back and reseed.
Why it didn't come up?
I think that's what helped guys.
Oh, the oats. Yeah. Well, what was that we planted down the back of our pasture there that didn't never did come up? That was rye,
millet,
wasn't it?
Millet.
That's right.
Didn't mount the hill of beans.
Remember, I was so afraid the cows was going to eat it down.
I don't know
I
what happened
to
that millet. I put 500 pounds of 10-10-10 on it, and it didn't do a thing.
Go cause they stayed in the
it came
anyhow.
Up and got about this high.
But that stuff never did grow. Here, it was coming up real nice, and I thought, my God, if they eat that down now, he'll kill me. I thought I had to get those cows away from there. But they weren't bothering a thing. They just wanted to get away from the shade.
I don't know. It's probably the soil. I should have had it tested.
The seed?
No, it wasn't seed. It came up. And if the seed was good, it either come up or it wouldn't come up.
But that clover has come up in there.
Well, that's beside the point. Probably what kind of ground is good,
good
for one kind of ground, it won't be good for
another.
Yeah.
Well.
Like on some grounds, it takes sour ground for some grasses. On other grounds, grasses can't stand sour ground.
But he says he's going to plant that whole 40 acres over there in Bahia.
Well, how much would that be all together? It'd be a little over 14,000, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Did you have it figured out?
Unless we sold all ours.
We'd have to sell some stuff our own sale. Sell some of those caves out there.
But some of them I bought from you is getting to be quite a good age on them.
Well, as long as they keep producing.
Yeah, there's three of them there that do real good.
I've got one cow here,
1957,
and she's got the best calf.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Now that Martha.
She got a mole set already.
How old is she? she must be close to 12. It is.
Yeah, and you know, every now and then, it depends on the light you look at her. Sometimes you look at her, she looks sort of like skin and bone. But if you get in the right light, she looks just as plump as any of them.
Yeah.
And she's small and she has the best calves.
She is small and she has. Isn't that amazing?
You know, we were saying the other day, it's a shame, you know, that you couldn't pick out the best cow.
You know, I told you that I saw this fella who had he bought these little old puny cows at the livestock market, and he got one, he did the artificial.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's better than any bull you can get.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
and it's no trouble. It's the way they tell me. Once you get the hang of it,
I wish I could do it.
It's simpler.
The problem is, my cousin used to do that, but he had to have one of these freezers to put this stuff in, and it had to be way down, 30 or 40 below zero.
Oh God, yeah.
You can't put it in a regular deep freeze. You got
200.
Way down there, lower. Yeah, probably. I think it is.
Yeah.
Way down.
Yeah.
Way down there. Nitrogen.
He had a special freezer and everything. He used to go down and breeding people's cows for him. He used to go out to Heights Dairy all the time. That was Jack Dodd.
Yeah.
He used to go out to Heights Dairy all the time.
I've seen cows that came out of these little old spindly heifers, and they were prettier than any of these. They were all black, and they were big and they were thick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh Lord! And they came out prancing.
Yeah.
That's the truth. And you know, that's one thing that discourages me. I don't have enough. You see, I kind of do all this typing and keeping it sort of wore down until I don't have enough. I'm not enterprising anymore. You see, I don't have the energy to
spread yourself all over the place.
To be venturesome, you see. I just do it the old hard way, the old simple way.
But
we need to go. I want to go over there, Shirley, and I want you to see that thing of his.
I've heard you mention them some often. Now you've got me wondering.
Well,
what
you just ought to see what he
It's shameful the way he does. It is.
I still haven't been able to think of that Hereford guy with the horn Herefords. I know who you mean, but I love it, Jackson.
Love it. He lives up there.
No, he lives over here in Under.
He's
the other way.
He lives over here in Rochelle.
He's the one I had in my mind.
Love it. Jackson lives over at Rochelle.
Yeah.
It's his daddy, you know, that started all those Hereford herds in the country.
This guy you're trying to think of?
Oh,
Love it. Jackson, yeah.
Yeah, he's an old timer here.
Yeah, his daddy was an old timer. They all knew him.
Hmm.
It'd be interesting to know just how many herds is left of his old man Jackson's herd on this county. I bet you'd find a bunch of them.
Mm.
As much as things change, you see.
Well, how did you ever get started with the Herefords?
Just accident. Just pure accident. I was looking for some cows, and I saw these advertised, and the man had them up here at Lee. And I went up and looked at them, and they were these cows.
Oh, I do know.
Yes.
You bought the whole herd.
And I bought the whole herd and got them down here the 1st of April. Half of them were calves.
And it was his daddy that got us interested in them. Well, how long has daddy had cows? All his life, I guess.
He missed them all his life.
Yeah.
Well, Angus just don't look right to me.
No.
You can't see them. You ever try to catch one in the dark? Especially
there's nothing cuter than a little old white face.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. I used to run Mrs. Gleason's cows.
Well,
I took care of her cows for her.
Yeah.
Before I started working at the university, I took care of her cows 1 year, and her fences were sorry.
Yeah.
I'd work on her fences all the time trying to keep them up.
Yeah.
And those cows would get out on the road, and they'd run around there and get on a real dark, wet night, and they'd get underneath one of those trees and stand there, and you'd walk right up to them before you could see them with a flashlight.
We almost
you'd just stand, get up under the tree and stand still, and you'd be shining a light, you'd be shining straight at them, and you wouldn't even see them.
And they knew that.
Eyes are black, and one thing about niggers, they got white eyes. You can shine a light and see. But a cat, the old Angus, their eyes are the same color as they are.
They don't even shine red or anything like
no,
that.
No, they don't do nothing.
That one that we almost ran into on the highway there, Mrs. Bass's, remember we were going to Orlando. We left real early before dawn, you know, before daylight.
Yeah.
And, We were just picking up a good speed. We got right in front of Mrs. Bass's house, and here was a big black cow. She's standing tail toward us, you know, going the other way.
I ran into a mule that way one time.
You did? A mule.
He sat right down on my radiator cap. Set a Model A
That
it didn't hurt funny. Either one, the mule or the radiator.
You must have been going real slow.
But I got a letter from the lawyer 2 or 3 weeks later saying that mule was stove up and in bad shape.
Oh.
And they were going to
sue you.
Take action, but they never did. It wasn't.
No. Oh, my.
Wasn't worth the trouble. Now we've got the railroad, you see, they got a little out of there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're going to have to go. Those kids are going to have to get in bed tomorrow, school day.
They're taking advantage of me being away from
home. I know, good and well. Every one of them is sitting there watching television.
Well,
right
you're all celebrating. They're celebrating that. They don't get this chance often, do they?
They probably tore everything, took everything out the refrigerator and left everything open.
You know, I know parents that go off and leave the children in charge. I do.
Ooh.
I do, Shirley.
Well, that's a good
and
idea.
And the children are just as well behaved as any, apparently.
Leave Tommy
now,
in charge.
I'm not trying to tell anybody how to behave.
When one of my kids tell the other kid what to do, that's all there
that's,
was.
That's
too.
When the fight starts.
You might as well watch some bombs going through the house. I'm telling you. One kid said, now you go get me a drink of water. The other one, let him have it.
No,
I told him, I said, you sit there and watch TV till I get back. But, boy, none of this. Bonnie can't be the mother hen when I'm gone because...
Oh, she can't?
Oh, she's not going to do nothing now.
She'll get after one of the broom if they try to mess up the house, but they'll fight her back. That's the trouble. She pitches right in there. Yeah.
Well, what are we going to do here now? We keep getting off the subject here. We've got to get going pretty soon.
I don't know. I'd like to have them all, but I don't know how in the world we could feed them all.
We don't have that much money right now.
I got this meeting with a fellow tomorrow, and I'm not too anxious to sell to him because I'm afraid he's just going to buy them to resell them to somebody, and I won't know where they are.
Yeah.
I don't care where they go, but they're not wood cows.
No.
But they work for a living. I mean, they're not pets. Just like yours.
They pay for themselves, in other words. Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing they won't do. They won't eat any of this old soft protein stuff they put out.
Protein.
They put that out, you know, with a sack of protein and two sacks of salt.
I never feed that.
Why, I've tried to say they don't even hardly look at it. And they're telling me down there.
You mean a powdered salt, what?
Yeah, the salt and a protein.
To make them eat rougher.
Well, that's what they feed the wood cows.
But you give yours the block salt, don't you? The minerals?
No, we're not talking about that. And my cows won't even look at it. And this fellow said to me, he says, well, they would eat it or not. Well, what I want to starve them for. I mean, you get a lot of blockheaded cattle people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't profess to know anything much, but I can tell when a cow walks off.
Yeah. You can tell when you're eating when you don't eat.
Another thing they won't do is they won't move in the hot weather.
No. They'll
hunt
the
shade
and stay.
No, I don't even try to handle them in the hot part. I wait late afternoon. Early in the morning, because the cow is going. If she's under that tree, she's not going to leave that tree. You try to run around, she's going to run around the other side of it.
Yeah, it take 2 or 3 to get them moving.
Yeah.
And then
it's hard on the cow too. You try to shove them around.
Yeah. You know what? If you could sort of watch them and see when they want to move.
Mhm.
Sort of.
About 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they start moseying around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they'll go everywhere.
And do you know they've got their certain places where they're going to eat at certain times of the day, and I can go down in the field and find them in that same place. And I notice that and maybe at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they're over in that little bit of clover field there.
Yeah.
And then earlier in the day, around 12 o'clock, they're down at the water hole. They're standing around in the water, you know, under the shades of the hole. And then early in the morning, they're way back in another pasture back in there. So they work their way on up.
Really?
But they stay
they
in the shade.
They move that much.
Well, no, they stay in that shade in the middle of the day right there by that water hole, you know, in the water. Then they'll mosey over about 4 o'clock, and then about 6 to 8, 7 o'clock, they mosey back to the water hole again. So they're not,
how much,
they're not in a big hurry.
Do
they
go
spray.
Down to your swamps there?
No, they can't go in there.
Go into
I got
the
swamp. I got a fenced off where they can't go back in there.
You
don't
want
them in there.
I don't want them in there.
What's the matter?
Well,
I just don't like them going out in that mud.
Oh, I see.
It's too boggy back in there.
Some of those places, peat beds back in there.
Oh.
And I got stuck in one of them last Saturday with my tractor. Hit it and it just went down there like that.
Oh, don't tell me.
Oh, bro.
It was a peat bed.
Don't tell me.
Best thing to do to a peat bed is get a drag line there and clean it out. Peat bed not be big around this room.
Lord, make water hole.
You had to get the bulldozer and
I had to go
out
down to the bulldozer and pull it out, pull my tractor out. That tractor went right down. It didn't even spin its wheel. Just like a bottom nut.
Well, how'd you get out?
Oh, I can walk out.
Well,
I don't weigh 5 tons.
Hell yeah.
It doesn't.
Well, I was thinking about quicksand, I guess.
This is peat.
Peat, yeah.
It goes down so far and then
I hit one peat
down.
Bed around there one time, and I just dropped all the way down to right along here in it.
But all our good pastures.
Walking along, all of a sudden, it just drops right, bottom drops out. You think you're on ground, but all you own is just a, it'll be just my, nothing but teat down there and a bunch of moss growing on top of the ground. It looked like the rest of the ground. And all of a sudden you hit it and nothing under you.
Yeah.
You
down
go
there
right,
around
down, right down there. And I reached up and grabbed some grapevines. Grabbed hold of them grapevines, put myself out. It was a real cold day. I was right after we moved down
there. Yeah. Didn't know it was there and you got into it.
I walked in that peat bed.
You were looking for a calf, weren't you?
What it was, I think it was an alligator den is what it was.
Yeah. Now you tell me.
Wasn't the water underneath there. Water and peat.
Yeah. Well, you know it's lucky in this swamp here, in this little swamp up here, and that big swamp back there, it's all solid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got solid, either sand or clay.
Now, there's
well,
two swamps of ours that's solid, and that's
we,
a beauty for in the
now,
winter.
Now, over there where our water hole is, it's all white sand around there.
Yeah.
It's good. But where you, the reason I don't want my cows, the cows out in that old peat and stuff, is you'll be having hoof problems for long.
Yeah,
you'll be getting hoof rot from those old mud holes.
Yeah.
That old mud gets up between the feet and
yeah.
It gets up between the feet and it don't dry out.
And that old stuff has got insects in it.
Yeah, it has
very.
It has all kind of. It has everything in it.
Things,
and that stuff will get between their hoofs and it'll stay there for hours and won't even dry out.
Yeah. So eventually it'll get a little irritation and
exactly
once that starts
starts
just
she'll get cow get galled between her hoofs.
Yeah.
And then they get start getting your hoof rot.
And then do they?
Oh goodness, they lose their feet. The hoof will come off.
Yes.
The hoof can come off.
You know, I had one that hid out back there. I didn't know she was back there. She was down, and her foot rotted almost off.
Mm.
It was this big.
Oh no.
It was this big. And she's one of the prettiest cows now.
Yeah.
Her.
They'll get that way, and they won't come up for nothing. They just lay down.
Just lay there and go get a drink. They get up to get
yeah,
water.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I can see this and that. So it don't hurt, I guess, as long as they stay off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Pappy's had it once or twice. And you talk about putting on a show. He don't pay attention to any heifers or anybody else when he's got a sore foot.
How much you asking for your bull?
$500.
He loves that bull down there. He couldn't look for the cows for looking at the bull.
I'm
that
afraid,
bull.
That's going to be the hardest thing for me to see, though, is that bull.
Yeah.
I love that bull.
He is good-natured.
You can sure see Patrick in that, or see
but
him and Patrick.
Let me tell you, Shirley.
I'll tell you if I get him, you can come over and look at him.
I never saw, they call him, somebody told me they call the bull like that a breeder. I'm telling you, he gets after them.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get away from him.
I saw him in performance out there one day.
We had a couple of cows that the guy had to put in a chute to have to be bred at one time. I don't know what he had. And
well,
not
I
this
tried.
Bull. Not
this bull. They didn't get away from him.
No,
huh?
Didn't they need to.
Well, he's so beautiful. He carries himself so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Well, how soon are you going to move these now? I mean, sell them. I quit. You just said you got a guy coming over tomorrow.
Yeah. It'll be right away.
Right away.
Well.
But he said you could keep them over here if you all got them.
See, I'm wanting to get that finished, clean up those oaks.
It would be a blessing for us because we're not quite ready for them. I want them and real bad, but I don't want to get them if I can't feed
them. This will be the first year
them.
I'll have plenty of hay.
I'd rather not even buy one if I couldn't, you know, make sure that it got what it, you know, the pasture that it needed. Those that we got there now, I'd like to have the chance to cull some of them out.
We need to get rid of a few of ours, or some of them getting old and got
and,
some stuff out
so
there.
So I'll know that they have plenty of pasture, not old
we
sprouts.
We got some stuff there that really need going.
Well, I don't have many, but if I had known that you was going to sell yours, I would have sold them back, you know, when the prices were better. But
I didn't know I was.
Yeah.
But I just had to face up to it and see it.
Well, I tell you, I'd sure take care of them if I got them. I don't think you'd have to worry about that.
And
I get the vet out to them and all that, but if they need it.
These vet bills are getting old, too.
Yeah.
I get a little too sentimental over them, Berman says. But.
Well, most of these are in the prime. They're balanced, they're leaning over towards the young.
Was this fella interested in all of them or just part of them? Or?
He just take the whole spell.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a little over 14,000 altogether.
So you think we could raise that much?
33 head.
I know I could if I had time to sell some of those others. The
trouble is we're short right now.
We've got 11,000. That's 11, 12, 15, 14. I'd have to sell
another
3,000 to
get the bull. That'd be close to $4,000.
Now the bull, you got to keep him. You got to keep him out by himself now.
Pinned up, yeah.
For father time, and feed him.
Yeah.
Now you see, this is down a little bit because of damn horses. I can't feed him without.
Running away. That's the only thing I don't like about horses. Darren, boy, they'll chase your cows out of the feed.
Yes.
They won't let them eat. When I feed, we got the.
I mean,
they'll chase the cows away from that hay rack down at the barn and try to feed my milk cows. I get so disgusted sometimes.
He come right up.
They're an old cow. They'll sit there and try to eat them horses, run up there and run them away. When was it I hit Captain in the eye with that stool? Oh, that's been
a couple of months, five or six weeks ago.
I was sitting there mucking the cow, and he came around there, and he's going to walk right over the top of me and get her feed. Just like I was, just part of the concrete. And I was sitting squatting down here mucking, and I just picked my stool up and threw it at him. I didn't even have no eye I was going to hit him. And I hit him right above the eye, and I hit him in the eye, didn't I?
Hit him in the eye.
With the leg of that
blood
stool.
Clot.
And
had
to get the vet out. I didn't even have no idea I was going to hit him.
That cost us.
I just took him and threw it over my head, even.
There's any way to get a horse out of the way. I've tried it.
Well, he won't go around there now with him milking there.
Well, that's the only time he's ever done it. I saw he's going to walk right over top of me. Boy, he's coming stomping around there like him. Like I wasn't going like I was part of the concrete there I was sitting on.
But with him, all you have to do is yell at him or raise your hand, and he spooks back.
Well, I raised my hand and had the stool in it.
Yeah.
He spooked back, all right.
I think he
went around there with a big
puff
black eye for a while. I didn't have no idea I'd go hit him in the eye, though. In fact, I didn't even think I was going to hit him.
And Bonnie, when she saw that...
Yeah, I can imagine.
Oh, boy. I'll tell
I
you,
didn't
this
think
girl.
I'm going to move my horse tomorrow.
This one down here, what's her name? The black one with the star in her face?
Molly.
Oh, she's beautiful.
Isn't she?
Oh,
well
she shines like a new, brand new automobile.
Yeah.
Oh,
always,
she shines.
Always.
So beautiful.
Always looks dressed up.
Does she ride real well?
What do you think? We keep getting off the subject.
You keep asking me. I want the whole shebang.
I know it.
But,
well, let me tell you, Roman. Let me check with this fella, and I'll get in touch with him. And then you can.
I think that's fair enough. He can get in touch with
him. Okay.
And
this grass over here, you see, will last until Thanksgiving.
Well.
Is that much of it?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, here we're gonna have to move something ourselves because we don't quite have enough money.
Well, how much time do we have to move it? This is another thing. I don't want to take them to market. They're too nice of cows to go to market.
No,
yet they're not as nice as yours are, so I'd like to get them out of the way so I can get these there. And two, I want to be able to have enough pasture for all of these if we get them all. Is that 14,000 including the little calves or...
The 20 cows, the 8 heifers, and the 5 heifers are springing. It's bred now, right? It'd be 33.
33.
Now I got 20 calves on top of that.
You got 20 calves on top of that.
Yeah. So I'll have to.
Well, you figuring them in with the cows? I mean, were you?
No, they go separate.
Yeah, what I mean. He's going to take them all separate.
They ought to average out around $200. If the price would go back up 5 cents.
Well, they're worth $200.
Which is
how many heifers are there in the bunch, in the little ones?
The heifers are small. There's one, the pretty heifer, and there's five more that look like they got growth in them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all.
You got 20, how many heifers?
I just picked out six of them out of this year's crop.
Mm-hmm.
Six heifers and the rest are steers? Gee, looks like
there's
more.
Other heifers, but they're not any good.
Yeah.
You got one up there that looks like a mountain goat.
That woolly one.
Yeah, I love that one.
I know it. She's so odd looking.
She come up and lick you.
Yeah.
You know, she was pretty good disposition until her mama. I fertilized back there, and her mama got a little dose of fertilizer, and I had and she lost 200 pounds, and that calf she didn't like that at all, drying up her
mother.
Yeah.
She didn't want to off.
Taking her milk wagon away.
She was put out. I kept them up there where I could give her shots and one thing or another. That little calf was, she just her disposition changed.
where did the little one go?
I ever saw.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Where did the little friendly one go that met me coming up the laneway the other day?
She's over there with her mama.
She was?
Yeah.
I tried to find her. I couldn't see her.
Well, you go see this fellow tomorrow. What if he takes him?
No, I'll cry all night. well.
I'm going to find out what his plans are. I'm not committed to it.
I think Berman likes Pappy better than anything he's got down there. I think he's like you are. He didn't pay any mind to the cows that kept saying, "Honey, look at this one." Yeah, he says, and he's looking at Pappy.
Pappy, he's not only the
it's curious how animals get friends, isn't it? People coming around.
Yeah.
And you know, he's just in his prime, and I don't understand. You know, you have to sell him off because you can't keep him.
Well, gee, if you get Pappy, we'd have to sell our bull.
Well, you could have a two-herd ranch.
How many cows do you usually run with him?
Well,
30?
Yeah, but see, I don't run them solid
all
the time.
Yeah,
I rest
him. I mean, he takes care of 30.
Yeah.
He breeds 30.
Yeah.
I think about 30 is all you need for one bull. I think it's... They figure about 35 on them. One bull.
But you can't keep them out that much because then they'll miss.
We need to keep him in that field right there at the house. Where I can go out and talk to him all the time.
Yeah,
see?
That's right.
There's
keep him where he can't see anybody.
There's plenty of Bahia and Pangola in that field right now.
Keep him where he can't see the cows.
Yeah.
Even across the land.
That'd be right there in front of the house.
That'd be the best thing for her. That's where the company, you know, takes all their bulls in and puts them over there in that little lot right there. They can't see a cow.
Mm.
Well, they're quiet.
Yeah. We've let the growth grow up between the fence. You know, that field right in front of the house there, and you go up the laneway, and there's a fence there that. The laneway divides the two fields,
yeah.
And all that growth is growing up in the fence there, so he can't see over there.
Is that right? Well, you
he
know, I
see
think,
over there.
I think someday people going back here are getting a little, letting the fence row grow up a little bit now.
Yeah.
I got that, and there grows up. I want to get out there and chop the stuff out of it.
Yeah, but I think it's serving its purpose. The heifers don't see the mamas over there, and they just don't.
I need to tear that whole fence
out.
Down and rebuild the whole thing, but I just haven't had time.
Yeah. Well, just
and they've gone so crazy on wire anymore.
That's right.
Well, tell them how much that barbed wire was.
Darren, they wanted just for regular hog wire now. But I used to get $16 a roll before it runs around at $44 a roll now.
I thought you said $50. Did you tell me $50?
This is wholesale price I'm giving you. This is way more than that in the store.
Yeah.
It's going crazy. And it's going, and I'm going to need about 20 rolls of that one.
You can't stay that way. All them prices just can't stay that high, can they?
Well, they're doing it so far.
They're going up.
I don't see how in the world they can and then bring the price of beef down.
Yeah.
Gas going up, everything else going up, and then beef comes down.
Yeah. Well, what else do they need that wire for?
Everything's out of balance. I need the wire to fence in those oaks over there. It's going to take around to fence that in over there. I'm going to need about 20 rolls of wire.
Yeah.
I want hog wire up there so I can keep the calves in.
Yeah.
Especially on my outside fence. Inside fence is not. Really, it's not that important, but the outside fence it is.
Yeah.
That way you keep the hogs out too. There's wild hogs over there.
Oh yes, yeah.
And they get in over there and they root holes in your field, and when you hit one of them, you break your neck on the tractor.
Yeah.
That field there in front of my house, where they got in there one year, and they just rooted that thing all over the place. I had to replow it. That was about 10 years ago. They have holes out there that big around and that deep.
Right.
You hit one of them with a tractor to spin you from around if it don't turn you over.
Yeah.
They're right across from our mailbox over there on the old Denham place over that place along Mr. Guthrie. That place is just rent over there from hogs. They had some pretty pangola over there, but you couldn't put it up say your neck. They must have 1,000 holes in it out there.
Oh, really?
And they're big around as this table and
oh,
2 feet deep.
I believe I heard them talking about that the forestry people brought holes.
Yeah, they
out
did.
There.
They brought them in.
Well, ain't that something?
The game department.
And then she goes to and complains about the holes out there, and they don't do a darn thing about it.
They don't care.
They don't care.
Then they bring turkeys out, you know. And they turn the turkeys out, and they breed, and they roam around in the same area, you know. Well, all the hunters see these turkeys going across the road, and then, well, I know where I'm going to go hunting, you know. Okay, just before hunting season, right now, what they're doing, they're going out with cages and catching all the turkeys and put them in the cages, and they're going to either put them someplace, they fill up their deep freezes first, I imagine, and turn them loose someplace else where the hunters don't know where they'll be. And now here are the...